Welcome to Nature Calls, conversations from the Hudson Valley. Our team's goal is to present science-based information about gardening and all things nature in New York's Hudson Valley. Hosts Gene and Tim, along with team members
Teresa, Linda, and Annie,
are master gardener volunteers for New York's Columbia and Green Counties. So if you're interested in gardening or nature or nuggets of information about what's happening outside your door, settle in. Enjoy the conversation. Whatever the season, we have something to say.
Hello and welcome to Nature Calls, Conversations from the Hudson Valley. I'm Jean Thomas.
And I'm Teresa Golden.
Today we're talking to Anna Plattner, co-owner of Wild Hudson Valley, an eco camp and forest farm in nearby Freehold, New York. In addition to the camp and farm activities, Anna and her partner, Justin Wexler, are respected educators and guides on an incredible number of eco tours and hikes. Welcome, Anna.
Thank you. What a nice tribute. When we asked Anna to come back and talk with us some more after her appearance at episode 52, we gave her carte blanche regarding the topic. She wanted to talk about our mutual friend and guru, Bob Bifus. We're recording this interview in January, almost exactly a year from his death. We've had the pleasure of interviewing Bob in episode 42 about his greatest passion, ginseng. But there was way more to Bob than being the ultimate expert on American ginseng. Anna, why don't you tell us about how you met Bob in the first place?
That's a great story. So in 2012, over 10 years ago now, I had just graduated with my undergraduate in natural resources from Cornell, and I was out in the woods. I was working as an intern for Ken Mudge at the Arnott Research Forest near Ithaca, and I was out soaking mushroom logs and harvesting shiitakes for a project.
As one does.
Yeah. And this guy just like walked out of the woods, like randomly. As far as I knew, I was the only one there. And it turned out it was Bob. It's funny because we're sitting here in Greene County. I grew up in Greenville. Bob lived in the area his whole life, well, most of his life. But I happened to meet him randomly in the woods all the way out near Ithaca. And we got talking. Turned out he was checking on his ginseng plantings that he had research plantings there that he was just checking in on. And I mentioned that I was from Greene County. And when I said my full name, with my last name, Plattner, he was like, oh, are you related to Trudy? And I'm like, how do you know my grandmother? Because at this point, I didn't even realize he was from Greene County. It turned out as part of his extension agent responsibilities, he had talked to my grandmother about her gardening, also given her some advice on problem trees and forest best practices. And he had done multiple visits to her property, and she loved him. After I met him, I mentioned that I'd met him to her, and she was so happy. She's like, I love Bob Bifus. And this was a big deal because at this point, she had dementia. She had Alzheimer's. And didn't really remember a lot. Sometimes she wouldn't even remember my name. Every time I mentioned Bob's name to her, she'd be like, I love him. And then she'd be like, send him my love and kisses. And then she'd be like, wait, I don't know if that's appropriate. in her German accent. It was hysterical. And it was so nice towards the end of her life that she remembered him, because she'd always want to ask me what I was doing, what was I doing for work, what was my life like? And of course, she would ask over and over and over again. And at first, I would say, I'm doing agroforestry. But at the end, I would just say, but I'm working for Bob Bifus. And she'd be like, oh, I love him. Send him my love and kisses. That's how it is with people with dementia. But it was so funny. And I was so glad that she remembered him. And so that's how I met Bob. And then after that summer, when I finished interning with him, I moved back to my hometown in Greenville, and I reached out to him to ask him whether he knew of any opportunities to do any mushroom or ginseng or other forest farming type work, because I was really interested in it. And he had me out planting ginseng 2 weeks later. In November, it was snowing, and I was like, what is he doing? But it turned out those were the first test plots that we were planting for American Ginseng Farm, where I ended up working for him for the next decade. So
Bob absolutely raved about you whenever we had an interview with him. He said, make sure you talk to Anna. She's wonderful.
Oh, thanks.
Grandma would have been proud.
Yeah, well, definitely a wonderful story, but Bob truly was memorable. Anybody who met him.
I think they all had the same reaction that Grandma did.
Yeah.
I don't know anybody that didn't love Bob Byfus.
It's true.
Well, let me give you a little background. Bob Byfus died on January 12, 2023, at the age of 72. He was running the bases in a softball game at his winter home in Florida. Nobody was surprised that he was playing a game. Bob was always in the middle of the game wherever he was. In those 72 years, he packed in several lifetimes. He discovered ginseng when he was looking for a research topic for his master's degree at Cornell. He never looked back. He became a world-recognized specialist in ginseng while conducting his career as a Cornell Cooperative Extension agent in Greene County, New York. He retired from Greene County after 31 years, but never slowed down. Anna, how did you become involved in the world of ginseng? You gave us a little bit of a lead to that. Is it true that if anybody had a tough question, the answer was always, ask Bob?
That was very much true. So, I mean, I had no idea what I was getting into when I went out and planted ginseng with him. And honestly, I don't think he had any idea what he was getting me into either. Basically, a wonderful, wonderful woman, Eva Tsai, approached Bob wanting to start a wild simulated ginseng farm. And he at this point had been retired for years, and he was ready for a new project. And doing a wild simulated ginseng farm is something that he'd always wanted to experiment with and never had gotten a chance. So
okay, let me stop you.
Yes.
Gene needs definitions. What's a wild simulated?
That's a great question. So ginseng grows in the wild, you know, in this region. And so wild simulated is basically planting ginseng seeds where ginseng would already naturally want to grow. So you'd find that right habitat, which is what Bob's expertise was in, the exact habitat requirements, soil, calcium levels are very important. Looking at other plants that tell you things about the habitat that like to grow in that same habitat, finding those circumstances and then planting it there with as little amendment as possible. There's other types of growing, other ways to grow ginseng, which involve tilling and, you know, amending the soil either under the forest canopy or under artificial shade cloth. But those are not wild simulated, and that's a very different way of growing things, which Bob also had done research on. But we've stuck to growing ginseng in the woods. And it's tricky because you're dealing with rocks and competing vegetation and, you know, very, very steep slopes. But basically, what we did by the end of my time with American Ginseng Farm, we had planted 250 acres. Of wild simulated ginseng across thousands of acres. Because you might have, say you have 50 acres of land, maybe 10 of that is actually plantable. So we worked on a number of different properties planting this ginseng. And unfortunately, in 2020, Eva Tsai passed away, and the future of American Ginseng Farm became very unclear. There wasn't a lot of succession planning. And since then, Justin and I have taken over the plantings with Wild Hudson Valley. So we've worked with a number of the landowners on leased properties to continue to steward the ginseng until it's ready to be harvested. So in that way, we're hoping that, you know, we'll still be able to continue the work, continue what we started with Bob. He made me so mad when he would say, I'm not going to live to see this harvested. This is all for you guys, you know. You're going to have to figure that part out on your own. And I now looking back, I'm like, I get so mad at him. He was right. He left me here to finish it by myself. But that's exactly what we're going to do.
That's wonderful. As you know, Bob was kind of a Renaissance man, but he didn't limit himself just to ginseng. He was a pioneer in forest farming, which includes great knowledge about mushrooms, wild and cultivated. And some of that, I believe, is also worn off on you, right?
Oh, definitely. I had learned, when I was at Cornell, they had one class on agroforestry, and it was kind of a broad overview on everything from mushrooms to nut trees to ginseng and other herbs. And I took that class, but I really wanted to learn more about mushroom identification and edible species. And so Bob was He dedicated his entire life to teaching. His students were the most important thing to him. So, you know, in our off time, we'd go out mushroom hunting. He actually showed me my first maitake mushroom, not very far from here, in like 2014. And when Justin and I were starting what we call our Wild Harvest Box, it's a seasonal forage subscription, we really relied on Bob to help us with finding locations for wild mushrooms. He had patches, you know, that just like his ginseng, that he would go and visit. And he would be like, oh, I was up there the other day. The mushrooms look really good. So we'd run up. And because we were trying to do this as a commercial scale enterprise, we needed not just a few edible mushrooms here and there. We needed larger quantities. And he was really supportive of our Wild Harvest Box project when we got started.
Okay, the written record, you're saying that he didn't, his interest was his students. And his written record is pretty near immortal, but he didn't write any scientific papers for the academic world. He wrote a gardening column for decades that was aimed at and read religiously by the regular guy. He was never paid for it, but it was printed in just about every local paper in the area. The Porcupine Soup digital newspaper still runs a Bifus column in memoriam. His topics, like his energy, were always appropriate. He had a companion radio show on WRIP radio, also unpaid. Was this typical of his generosity?
Oh, absolutely. Every morning until probably the day that he passed, he would spend at least an hour on his computer emailing people, answering questions. You know how many questions about ginseng Bob got in a day through his email? I can't even imagine the amount of time that went into answering sometimes very repetitive questions on how to grow ginseng. And now I'm getting a lot of those emails, you know, now that he's passed. And it's really hard for me to find the time and energy to do that. But, and that just goes to show like how dedicated he was to the stewardship and conservation of this plant and to teaching others. It's amazing. He probably would spend at least an hour, if not 3 hours, every single morning. And we're talking over 10 years after he officially had retired from Extension. But yeah, very, very generous with his time and with his knowledge, but also humble in that he was not afraid to admit if he got something wrong. He was a lifelong student. You know, I got to attend a number of different ginseng or other forest farming conferences, visit other growers, both, you know, shade cloth operations in Ontario, you know, going all the way out to Ohio to United Plant Savers and attending a conference with him there. And he encouraged me to teach, and I'm trying to get more and more into that role. But he was always learning something new. And, you know, if he wasn't teaching himself, he was sitting there in the audience, you know, listening and learning.
He was an amazing guy. He also had a YouTube channel about ginseng, and one obit referred to him as a poet of gardening. I think that fits, don't you? Mm-hmm. I do know he had such charisma that he generally never met a stranger, and the affection was reciprocated. In fact, doesn't he have a special bond with your daughter?
Yeah, I'm really lucky that my daughter got to meet Bob. I mean, you know, she's only 2 now. And I wish she had gotten to meet my son, who's only 8 months old. But Bob was one of the first people I told that when I was pregnant the second time. And yeah, he loved kids and grandkids and his kids and grandkids. I mean, he spent the entire winter spending time with them in Florida. And he would have, it was so cute, he would have a little folder of printed photos from like CVS or wherever in the door of his car. And if you asked him, oh, how's your family doing? He'd take them out and show you one by one. Oh, this is Veda now. And he was so proud of his family. And, you know, I'm just lucky I got to be a small part of it.
Didn't they all call him Grand Bob?
Grand Bob, yep.
Grand Bob.
That's what he told me to have Karina call him, too.
Yeah.
It was very cute.
That's cute. Okay, Anna, in closing, we usually ask the question, what gives you hope? But in a retrospective about Bob Bifus, let's change that a little bit. Tell us how Bob's influence and energy can be shared and spread. because I don't think I ever met a more optimistic, hopeful person in my life.
Yeah, that's a tough question. So Bob's energy lives on through the thousands of people that, maybe hundreds of thousands of people that he has influenced over his career. I mean, it was with Extension for 30 years. And like you said, he had his gardening program and his newsletter column. And just think, we planted 250 acres of ginseng. That's a lot of ginseng that's living on because of Bob and his efforts and his passion and his dedication. And so this plant and the infatuation that lots of people have for this plant because of him is one way that his energy is living on. I wasn't sure I was going to do this, but I have an email that he wrote in 2015, and I thought I might read a little bit. And if any of you have ever dug ginseng, or if any listeners have spent time with ginseng, they'll instantly know what Bob is talking about in this email. Basically, we were starting to get into ginseng season and going to be digging some roots and doing a lot of planting of seeds. And generally, as a manager, I mean, Bob was my boss. He could be hard. He could also be patient. But when you messed up, or if he didn't think you were doing the right thing, he was not hesitant to, you know, give you that feedback. And so this email struck us all as a very different form of management than we had really seen from him earlier that season. So I'm going to paraphrase it a little bit because it's pretty long. But hi, everyone. It is ginseng season. In the next couple of weeks, some of you will get to dig some of the finest ginseng on the planet. Be mindful of this honor. Few people will ever have this opportunity. You will be handing something that has powerful spiritual power. Be respectful. If the soil is dry and the root is not coming out easily, cover it with soil and leave it there. When ginseng is ready to be dug, it will come out of the ground easily. If it resists, it's not time. If the fine root hairs are not coming out, it is too dry or you are distracted. Listen hard as you dig. If the roots are not ready to be dug, you may hear a faint sound. That snapping of fine root hairs being broken is not what you want to hear. When you pull gently on the root, it will at first resist, but it will release its grip when you have uncovered enough of it. No radios or earphones in the woods when you're digging. You need to use all your senses. Your fingers can see as well as feel. Close your eyes and imagine them having eyes and visualize what they are seeing under the ground. Your fingers can tell the difference between tree roots, weed roots, and ginseng roots far better than your eyes. Of all the work you have done this summer, this will be the most difficult. You must train your hands to work properly, and you will not cut your fingers on stones. Now for the science. Broken roots may not survive transplanting and may only live a year or two. We were transplanting a number of these roots. They need to live to make seeds for many more generations. Keep them as cool as possible and replant them as soon as you can. Plant them in the same position as they were dug. Ginseng roots do not grow down like carrots or parsnips. They recline in the soil like a person lying on a bed. Cut the stalk off just above the apical bud. If the leaves are yellow, the stalk may detach easily, like a ripe melon when it comes off the vine. But don't yank on it, or you could damage the neck. Save the leaves, and you may eat the lower white-colored portion of the stalk as you work. In fact, you should eat the lower stalk. It will give you energy and connect you to your task. It does not taste bad at all, and the flesh of the ginseng will become a part of your flesh.
Bob.
Wow.
He really was poet of gardening.
Yeah. When you said that quote, I was like, yeah, sounds about right. Wow. And this email, friend of mine, Jamie Gillespie, remembered this email years later and had me dig it out recently. And I'm really glad that he did. So that's Bob for you.
I think that was a perfect epithet. Thank you.
Thanks so much for coming.
All thanks to Bob.
That concludes another episode of Nature Calls, Conversations from the Hudson Valley. We would like to thank Sandra Powers and Devin Connolly from Cornell Cooperative Extension of Columbia and Greene Counties for production support. And a special thank you to our listeners for joining us on this episode of Nature Calls, Conversations from the Hudson Valley. You can find links to any of the topics mentioned in this episode at our website at ccecolumbiagreen.org. Comments and suggestions for future topics may be directed to us at columbiagreenmgb@cornell.edu or on the CCE Master Gardener Volunteers of Columbia and Greene Counties Facebook page. For more information about Cornell Cooperative Extension of Columbia and Greene Counties, visit our website at ccecolumbiagreen.org or visit us in Hudson or in Acre. Cornell Cooperative Extension provides equal programming and employment opportunities